Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barman, and with me is Joe Schnackenberg. Joe has been a coaching client of mine for the past 3 months, I guess, and we're just going to talk about what the process was like, and, Joe's pictures are on the blog so you can see the results he got, and, we'll just go through your history and then what it was like to go through the process and some of the stuff that you learned, and I know that there was a few things that came up that you were surprised about, me and Brad Pielon were talking about this morning, and one of the, what the point of coaching even is sometimes, and one of the issues I think you and I both arrived at was that you just had to learn to be patient somewhere along the line, and that was, one of the main things. It's almost like there's always this feeling of trying to do more, and I actually didn't really anticipate it, but half the time, and not just with you, but with other people, part of what I'm doing is stopping people from trying to do too much, or reminding them that the process, the speed that it's happening at, is the correct speed. So, I don't know, there was a few things there. But let's start with your history with training real quick, diet, fitness, how you what you used to do before you came on board with me.
Yeah, I had about, like I told you in the past, about 10 years of weight training. But that's not consistent, obviously. I would go into phases of not lifting and getting into something else, whether it be, running, triathlon, biking, martial arts. I go for periods without even touching a weight, and then I get back into lifting again. So just in terms of strictly lifting but weights, I would progress, then I'd stop, and then I'd progress and stop. Mostly either because, A, I was interested in something else, or B, once I got to a certain point with lifting, I didn't know where else to go, and it got stagnant. I'd say I have a pretty, in terms of weight training, a good 10 years, on and off training up to this point. I also, like I told you in the past, I was in the military, so I went to boot camp. I did all of that types of training or whatnot. Physical activity was no stranger to me.
Yeah, plus with that type of stuff, you know what it's like to push your limits, too. It's not like you've just done real low. You've done high-intensity stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Anything like, I know what it's like to undergo pain and have to push yourself and to force your body to change. That's the biggest thing that I think people need to realize. It just takes hard work.
Yeah, is that something you think really helped you translate it to when you are doing any other kind of training? I always tell people it's just the way that a workout's written on the page, you can go really sort of half speed through it and not get anything out of it, or you can put 100% effort into it or intensity, and then
it's fun. Yeah,
that's the difference, right? Five sets of 10 reps doesn't just mean lift something 10 times that you could have lifted 20. It means all five of those sets got to be done.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could look. Anybody could look at the workout, and most guys I know, and you know too, in the gyms, these guys come in and they're like, that's a wuss workout. That's not going to do anything for me. But if you really push, I remember first doing the workouts, and I was especially with the high reps, I was like, wow, holy shit. I was like, I'm going to get through this. But, it's almost, it's your level of measurement. Like, you need to have some kind of, gauge, your self gauge. And nobody can tell you that where you are. You need to tell yourself, like, hey, I need to push it with this set, or I could go up and wait next week. Like, that's where I am. And nobody else can tell you except you.
And then some of your past training experience, especially with the military stuff, showed you where your actual limit was versus never testing that limit.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you could easily go in there and do the three sets, or five sets of five, on the power block, and just do five. Five reps is easy. And to anybody, five reps is easy. But you got to tell yourself, if I'm not struggling by, the third set on the fourth rep, you're not doing it hard enough. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't want to burn out. You don't want to get to failure to that point because it's pointless. You want to complete the block, with the prescribed sets of reps. But you need to push yourself, and you need to know where that's at,
Yeah, and it takes a bit of time to figure that out. But and that's kind of something I kind of think that people – beginners versus experienced people. And experience doesn't necessarily need to be just weight training, but pushing yourself really hard physically. I almost think that beginners even if they perceive themselves pushing all the way to their max, it's actually, that's not yet what their body can actually handle. Like, over time, you can actually handle more. Like, even your ability to sustain intensity, that's trainable. So, like, a beginner might only be able to be really intense for 20 minutes, whereas someone more advanced can actually be intense for an hour.
Like, yeah, I absolutely agree. And like I said, even with, like I said, my 10-year history of just being physical and with the weight room, you know, I could have a layoff of a couple of months and then come right back into the gym, and it's almost like that muscle memory. Like, I know it's familiar. I know what it's like to be under, you know, an incline press with weight on me and pushing against it, you know what I mean? And in terms of a beginner might not be familiar with, hey, I got to push it. And that second set, they're, like, blasted already, and they say, oh, man, I got three more to go. Like, what am I going to do? And then I also feel that some people will start rationalizing themselves why they shouldn't complete the set. You know, they're like, oh, maybe I'll just do two more, you know? That's not it. You need to improve every time you get into the gym in some way or other.
Exactly. And the point is, when you have that feeling, that's the difference between making progress or not. Everyone has that feeling. Like, even people who are experienced 10 years later, that next set isn't fun. I mean, it's rewarding, I guess you could say, but it's in the moment. Yeah, we would all just like to put the weights down and leave them. No one's excited about the next set, so to speak. It's more like the benefit you know you're going to get after completing it.
Yep. And there's some days where, you know, I walked into the gym and I just totally didn't feel like training. But see, that's another thing with, you know, the discipline. Like, I knew I had to be in there. Like, and that's another thing. I didn't half-ass the workout. I went to the workout. I might have felt sort of miserable. But, you know, there's always advice that, you know, hey, you should just back off a couple sets, or if you're not having a good day. Like, that's not me. I mean, that might work in some other realms of training. You know, some, you know, coaches or whatever, they give advice like, oh, just back off. Do it. Like, to me, I'd rather just suck it up and get in there and do it, so I know that's completed and I'm done. I'll just deal with the misery for the day. Because I know the next day, you know, I'll be better. I don't know what happened that day, whether I didn't get enough sleep or I didn't eat enough or, you know, I didn't take in enough caffeine. Whatever it was, it just didn't work out. But the next day is always a great day or whatever, maybe 2 days later, you know.
Yeah,
so
there's always a dip. Like, I mean, it's pretty naive to think we're going to go 3-4 months straight without a couple of crappy days, maybe even a crappy week. That happens, and you just get through it. It's not like that's going to be that way forever. Yeah. And then on the other side, you have those days. I'm sure you had those days where you were just a champ in the gym. Like, everything felt good.
I felt like I could stay in there for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And then I do. On those days, I do. Yep. I just ride it out. I'm like, I'm going to knock out a couple extra things I don't normally do. And then you've got to ride those waves. Those are some of the best training days.
Yep. It's funny. I say that to myself, too. I think, you know, I'm going to ride the wave. You know, I'm just going to, you know, go with it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because people ask me all the time now, you know, they say, you know, what do you do and how do you train? And most are just like we're talking about right here. You know, they say, hey, I go to the gym 5 times a week and I do this. And I'm like, well, I say to myself, what are you doing in the gym? You know, like, just because you're in the gym doesn't, you know, make you automatically fit. Like, you drive into the parking lot, you know, you open the door, you scan in your card. It doesn't mean that, hey, look, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have ripped six pack, you know what I mean? I'm going to be developed, my shoulders are going to be jacked. That doesn't, you know, I don't care what you do. You got to put in the work in the gym, you know? I mean, you can go in your backyard and get a more hardcore workout than these people who drive to the gym 5 times a week, you know?
Yeah, it's the quality of the time spent. It's not the time spent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. So, okay, so how'd you even find how'd you find me?
Well, it's funny because I was looking around the websites and I just got tired, and I know you talked about this too. You get tired of the marketing that's out there for, you know, anything, diet, fitness industry, you know. And I was always into, you know, I was on several websites, you know, that I always read and stuff like that, and you know, everything that was on there would always, you know, try to market some supplement, whether you knew it or not. So, you know, I used to follow a lot of the advice and teachings. I used to, you know, do some of the workouts, and I was like, wow, this is, you know, it's impossible, like, to do some of these workouts, and such, you know, be natural or whatever have you, you know. And, you know, I was just looking around for an ideal. Like, I always looked around, and I was like, how my body type, I knew after a while I came to say to myself, like, I'm never going to be 200 pounds. I mean, I could, you know, but I'm going to look like crap, you know.
Yeah, how tall are you?
5'8", 5'9".
And what were your, do you know your metrics, or how heavy were you in the final picks?
Did I send it to you, John? I think the morning of, I was 156.
Right. People probably look at those picks thinking you're like 190.
And it's funny because I ask people all the time. I asked my friend, and I was like, how much you think I weigh? And he said something like 178, 180, you know? Yeah. I told him, I was like, yeah, 156. My waist was 28 3/4.
Yeah.
The point, my shoulder measurement pretty much stayed the same as when I started, like 48 3/4, 49.
So what was your, I guess we could calculate your AI ratio. We'll put it on the blog.
Okay.
So that's, now did you even anticipate that's where your final numbers would be?
No, I think when we first started, right, we shot for, what did we say? I think it was like 165 to 170, right?
Yeah, somewhere in there. How, do you remember what you were when we started?
How much I weighed? I weighed 180.
Right.
I was fluctuating around 180.
So we'll put, the pictures will be on the blog, right, so for people can see the difference. So overall, did you, yeah, now I remember that. I remember the final goal being somewhere in the 160s. But at the same time, you didn't really care, right? You just wanted to get to the final. Like, were you, I know with some of our stuff, people are, they get a little weird on how light they're actually going to end up being, and they have this psychological barrier where they just don't want to be below a certain number.
Yep.
Like, did that, I don't know that you and I ever even discussed that. Did you even care?
No, I didn't care. You know, I thought, because that's another thing with knowledge. Like, I knew that, you know, I was like, I'm going to be light, you know, if I want to be low body fat. And I know that strength matters more than how much I weigh. You know what I mean? I see big guys who are weak in the gym. I'm sure you have too, you know. It doesn't matter, you know what I mean? And I didn't care about that, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, so we're getting a little off track here, so we're back to how you found our stuff anyways.
Yep. Yep. So, so I was just looking around the website, and I was just website after website, and I came to, ideal body proportions, and that's where your site popped up.
And, oh, so you just searched that term. You were just getting to the point where...
Yeah, you know, I was looking up ideal, but, like, how can I make my body... You know, using my body type, you know, how can I make myself look the best, mm-hmm. you know, aesthetically, you know, that I can using my body, that, you know, and that's where you popped up, you know, because that's after a while I was concerned with that. Because, all right, so I'm 33 years old. And we talked about this in the past too. When I was 19, yeah, I wanted to be jacked. Every guy does. They come in the gym, they want to lift weights, like do bench every day. I think I had a bench program I used to do with a friend of mine like 3 times a week. You know, I was eating a lot. I must have got up to like 185 one night. I could tell you what I look like. I don't have any pictures, but, you know, at my height, you know, I probably look like crap. You know, my waist is probably huge. You know, just bloated, whatnot. So, I mean, but now, at my age now, like, I don't care about any of that. You know what I mean? I just want to look good, you know?
Yeah, it's funny, and I know that the younger guys listening that's just not going to click with them. But all the guys our age would be like, yeah, I get it. Like, everybody our age has been through that and remember it, and now we're looking back. Like, now you look at your pictures, you're going, damn it, I could have had this then.
Oh, I'm telling you, you know? If I only knew, you know?
Yeah. Like, think about it. You could have had that. You could have had the look. We got you to that look in, what, 3 months?
Yeah, 3 months.
You could have had that 10 years ago?
Yeah.
At least you got it now. The point is you got it now. But some guys never figure it out, right?
No, they don't.
Some guys are doing the bulk thing for 20 years.
Yeah, they're obsessed with that, whether it's they're afraid to be too light or just they don't have the know-how, combination of both, or you know, psychologically they say, oh, if I weigh light, you know, I'm not going to – who the heck knows, you know?
Yeah. And then – okay, so then – So as soon as now, how long did you follow our stuff along? Like when you contacted me, was that like immediately or like how long until you decided?
No, I read I listened to all the podcasts that are on the site, and
this is interesting because I don't think I remember us talking about any of this.
Yeah, no, we haven't. Yeah, so John, I listened to all the podcasts, and a lot of it was like, you know, don't forget, I used to read a lot. You know, I had a friend that here that there was a. He's a trainer, but he does it for sports and stuff like that. He gave me some books. So, I mean, I had some basic knowledge, but so a lot of what you were saying was like, wow, you know what I mean? It just clicked. It was like no BS, like this is the way it is. And that's what compelled me. I was like, you know, I got to contact him. I was like, I got to see what the deal is here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you did a little bit of So how long were you listening for? A couple months? Like half a year?
No, no. It's probably maybe like a month and a half, maybe a month and a half, 2 months probably. So, you know, I just listened to all the ones that you had on the in the archive there, and then I read some of the on the blog.
Okay, and then when we started, we basically had a pretty. I mean, the goal was pretty simple: is like maximize the look, get your AI, and get
yep.
lean.
Yep.
What did you think of the method? Like, was it more or less what you expected after listening to all our stuff? Or
yeah, it's funny what you were telling me, and I liked your style. You were just saying in the beginning when we first started talking. Now you were saying how the process, what, you know, it's more about like, you know, you're saying with the process of coaching, it's more about telling people what not to do and just keeping them on track. And I think we talked about it many times. I think this whole thing was the psychology of it. It's an emotional issue. It really is, you know, in terms of, you know, like cutting fat and working out and changing your body. It's like emotional. So like every day you want to know you're changing, you know, and you tend to say to yourself, like, I want this right now. I want to be there right now, you know. And that's just not going to happen. And I think you were definitely an awesome guide to that. And I knew you know your shit. So, you know, I put my trust in you. And, you know, I was like, all right. You know, I was like, John told me, I used to ask a question all the time. I was like, John, do you think around like week 5 or 6, I'm like, you think I'm still changing? You think I'm still losing the fat? It's like, and I even told you, I was like, I know I'm losing the fat, but do you think this is still working? It's kind of ridiculous, but, you know, it's something that people go through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I remember. I remember along the way.
It's funny. I'm sure you hear it a lot, but it's just funny to hear it probably from on your end. Like, listen, man. And I remember one important thing you told me. You're like, listen, it's like 6 weeks, 6-7 weeks of being, you know, disciplined, watching your diet and working out is not going to change like a year of crappy eating or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Mm. You know, and I think that's the thing that most people need to realize.
Mm-hmm. But ironically, when you look at your pictures, 12 weeks did.
Yeah, 12 weeks did. Yeah.
12 weeks, I mean... And I mean, you came a long way in 12 weeks, and then that's not a long time to make that kind of change. But the changes are, I almost think that maybe not like numerically or empirically, I don't think the changes are necessarily, like, they might be linear, like numerically, so like literally every day another third of a pound comes out, or every week another pound or so comes out. Like that, the actual... If we mapped it out and measured you and scanned your body and stuff, we might find out that it's an actual linear change from like body mass index linear, body weights linear, measurements might, it all might all be linear, but the view in the mirror and the psychology of seeing it change, there's an exponential difference towards the end.
Yeah.
So even though it might be an actual linear change, it seems like not much is happening at the beginning, then all of a sudden, bang, everything shows up at the end. And it's like, that's why I was like trying to keep you patient. I'm like, just don't worry, we're getting there. And I remember towards the end, because we did the reverse taper. So I remember towards the end, we upped your calories and the results changed. The changes were coming slower. And I remember you emailing saying, are you sure? Like, I'm like, you're still changing? And you're like, yeah, then that's all that matters, right? And then,
that's what you told me, yeah.
And then the final look was, I think it was spot on.
Yeah, it definitely was, you know, because I was spot on to what you were telling me. You know, I didn't. You know, it's an important thing for people to understand too. You can't deviate from, you know, anything that you're going to say. You can't look at other sites or read other things because it's just going to screw you up, you know. And there's a lot of BS out there, you know, that can screw up your progress. You know, you end up like, you know, following one thing and then cruising off to something else. But
you can't allow yourself to get distracted. I mean, and you were good, but I just know that even, you know, those weekly check-ins, it was just. Yeah, you're still going. This is the right thing. And I kind of sense that. You're like, are you sure? And I'm like,
And that goes on to what you're saying. I mean, like, in, you know, anything goes diet. You know, you talk about, and even that was the biggest thing for me, I told you many times, was think of everything weekly. You know, think of your calories weekly, think of your changes weekly. And that's, like, the biggest message, you know, I have for everybody else. Like, nothing changes in a day, and not a lot changes in a week. But if you look at your pictures from a month ago to where you are at a certain point, like, you're going to be like, wow, that's a big change. And that's what happened with me. You know, I was looking at my pictures, you know, every month. You know, and actually to the point where I remember when I first started the program, I wasn't even looking at myself in the mirror. you know, I would get out of the shower and I was like, you know what, let me, you know, I shaved, I tried not to like look at myself, you know, and then, you know, I put my clothes on, went to work, you know, I did that probably for a month.
Oh, that's really smart. What, to just not trick yourself to think
just not trick myself, yeah, because I knew. And then after a while, I turned around and holy shit, that was a big change in a month. And then around probably like 5-6 weeks, you know, it's like, it seems like you're at a standstill. And that's when I kept emailing you, then you're like, just stay the course. And, so that's what I did. So I did it again. I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to look at myself. I'm not going to like do a full body, you know, using, you know, a lot of people like to look at themselves in the mirror. I didn't do that. And then I waited another month and I seen another huge change. And I was like, holy crap.
That's so a really interesting technique. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if too many people would have the discipline to not do the self-assessment, but that's a super smart technique, dude.
You know what it was? So check this out, John. It's almost like I got this from the military. Like, say that, you know, people, they say they go into boot camp, and it's such a stressful thing. They're scared crap. You know, they go in, people are yelling at them. And I went to boot camp with the guys, say they weighed 190. And when the time of graduation came, their parents didn't even recognize them because they lost so much weight. I mean, we weren't lifting weights that much. I mean, you were wiry, you had the muscular endurance, and you're definitely low body fat, but they just lost so much weight. And, you know, it's almost like we never looked at ourselves in the mirror. I mean, you're not in the squad bay, like, looking at yourself in the mirror. You know what I mean? After you get out of the shower, guys are going to look at you like, what the heck is this person doing? But I'm sure when they got home, I still remember getting home myself, and I wasn't that heavy to begin with. I was like, holy crap. I was like, oh, I'm ripped. I'm light. You know what I mean? So I almost use the same sort of technique here. And, you know, I put my trust in you. I was like, you know, I was like, I'm still cutting down. I'm still watching my diet, which I was like spot on with that. I was like, I have to, according to the numbers, I should be losing, you know. So you just have to have the patience in it. And like, you know, like you said in the beginning, patience is the biggest thing.
So when did you actually notice when you were looking at your results? When did you start realizing, oh man, this is towards the, I guess, not the first month or so, but when you realize, oh, I'm going to get there, like it's actually going to...
Around like, probably around maybe like week 9, 10. Around,
okay, so that
even,
far
even
in.
Even early. Okay. Yeah, no, you know what, I was definitely making progress. I could tell like around like week 6 or 7, I was like, wow, I knew I was cutting down, I was getting lighter. Like a lot of people started saying things. And people were like, wow, you're losing weight, you're getting light, you know, the whole thing. Around week 9, 10, I started accomplishing my goal. Like, in the beginning, where I told you, it was a little silly goal of mine, but I told you, I was like, you know what, I want to see veins in my lower abs. I was like, that's how lean I want to get. And around that point, I was like, you know what, this is happening. I was like, I'm getting actually really, really lean now. You know, I got to the point where it started transforming. And even my fiance said, you know, the weeks in the beginning, I was losing fat, and it looked like I was getting skinnier. But towards the end, I started actually looking jacked because of, you know, the whole illusion thing, you know. So towards around week, like, 10, I started, you know, people would be able to look at me and say, hey, he weighs 180 when I actually weighed 163.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and then those last few weeks is when it all started to become obvious that
it all tightened up those last, especially the last week, you know, week 12, and then we kept going, like week 13, I had my photos, I think, you know, week 14. I didn't stop at maintenance. I said, you know, let me just continue on. Like, you know, I cut out a little bit of walking, but, you know, it wasn't full bore fat loss, but, yeah, especially around those points, you know, they look really good.
Right, yeah, and well, in the final pictures show it. So then that's what I was trying to say, that the changes, the visual sort of feedback change, it all happens at the very end. That's the break point of the exponential curve. It's like you said, out of about roughly 14 weeks, it took till week 9 or 10 to start really seeing, like, oh, okay, here it is. This is what we've been working for the last 2.5 months.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden in the next 2 weeks, it just gets sharper and sharper.
Yeah.
So it's all... It all kind of comes together at the end, but it requires the patience and the sort of consistency.
Yeah.
I don't want to say monotony, but it's, you got to really trust. I mean, you must, I don't know if that's exactly, you just have to trust that, yeah, this is going to show up, but it's not going to show up for roughly 10 weeks from now when we start.
That's the perfect way of saying it, John. You just got to, you know, have confidence and say, hey, listen, I'm doing the right thing. And even if you have to know in yourself, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to say, am I sticking with the workout routine? Am I doing it hard enough? Am I good with my diet? Am I staying under my calorie where I should be? you know?
Did you ever think on the along the way, did you ever be like, I don't know if this, you know, is this not going to work? Like,
No, actually I didn't. No. I didn't. I was like, you know what? I tried so many things in the past and I'm sticking with this. You know, I got to get that. That's me. That's just how I am. I mean, if I start something, I got to finish it. So.
Right, gotcha.
You know,
so you were, there was no point where you were like, you were going to see it through to the end and then decide.
No. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, but, the patience thing is, like you said, the biggest. You gotta stick with it. Hey, and I think we talked about in the past how the marketing, again, you know, diet and fitness industry, they have you believe like, oh, a pound a week. Like, you know, everybody thinks they have to lose a pound a week of fat. I mean, that's a huge deficit, whether people know it or not. And, you know, I said to myself, like, I think I actually did the calculation. It was just a rough calculation what it was, and I was losing probably, you know, a half a pound to maybe a quarter of a pound a week, you know, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to get anywhere any certain time. You know, I said to myself, like, I don't need to be on stage or at a photo shoot any certain time. I said, you know what, if it takes longer than 12 weeks, then it takes longer than 12 weeks. You know what I mean? It just so happened to be in this case it didn't. But, you know, for other people, I think they need to realize that too. Like, if you set, here's another interesting thing, John. I believe, like, if you set a date for yourself, you say, like, you know what, I have a photo shoot, or I want to do a contest or something like that. I think that puts more pressure on you than if it wasn't. Because what it does is, I think it creates an environment where it makes you, you know, you're a slave to your diet, you're a slave to training, and that whole process becomes not fun. You know what I mean? Like you said in the beginning, you want to make this sustainable. This is a lifestyle change.
Well, and that's why we reverse tapered.
Exactly.
That's
yep.
to run the and yep. And so that's why towards the end we upped your cardio, but and your calories.
Yep.
And now the process is to just slowly take the cardio away to the point where you're eating at maintenance.
Maintenance. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. No, yeah. I understand the contest. The it's a double edged sword with the idea of a deadline that motivates people to get their act together.
Yeah, I understand that.
What they need to be aware of is they're going to get something done if they put a deadline in. If they don't put a deadline in, almost nothing's going to get done. But they also can give themselves the freedom to go past that deadline if they want. They don't have to – it's not over at that day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
if you get there at that day, you're like, that's fine. Or like we did, you push it a couple weeks further, which is fine. And then afterwards, it's not like you just stop and that you're like, it's over. You have to – you have to learn maintenance, and that's kind of what. And I remember telling you that's why things were slowing down, and we did have to increase your cardio at the end because that's the whole point was maintenance. And I don't know if every time you asked me that's why the reason we changed things towards the end there is because I don't want any kind of the point's to stay in this condition.
Stay in this condition, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so part of it was training you. That's why I kept telling you that we're learning now to stay to eat at maintenance, and the only thing left is to take the cardio away.
Yep.
Or scale it back to whatever amount you want. Because we were doing a lot, right? And then you just pull it back. And it's not for forever. Like we have you about a month or so of doing heavier cardio?
It wasn't torturous. It was, you know. And that's another thing, you know, the whole process of, you know, getting here. You know, if anybody along the line ever becomes like, oh, this sucks, you know, I can't eat what I want, or I can't eat enough, or they just feel like crap, you just need to tell yourself that. Hey, it's for a certain amount of time. And then once you're here, you know, you maintain, and that's it. You're here. You know what I mean? So I personally think it might be easier to maintain than to get here, you know?
Well, it's less actual physical effort. It's the only other effort, again, like you said, it's emotional and psychological. It's that feeling that you can just let it all go. Like you still have to be on some – you have to still have to be putting some effort into it, just nowhere near as much as it took to get there.
Yeah. And that's what I asked you too. I said, John, once I'm here, you know, what fluctuation do I want to stay in? I think you were trying, you told me like stay with like an inch of your waist, you know, 5 pounds, you know, whatever you want, you know, whatever I feel comfortable with. And now I know where I'm at, you know, with my weight, you know, my upper limit of my weight, my waist where I want to go and stay, you know, and then I guess if I creep up, I'll just, you know, cut back again.
You reel it back in. The idea is just to keep the fluctuation tiny.
Yeah.
You could almost look at the last 12 weeks or the 14-week cutdown as just all you did was let the fluctuation get bigger.
Uh-huh.
Like you let it physically get bigger and you let it take longer, right?
Yep.
So you gain all the way up to 880 pounds and let's say it took you 2 years to do that and then it took you 3 months to take it off. I know that sounds real quick, but either way, that you're talking like bigger, that's a big fluctuation.
Yeah.
Like physically, it's a big fluctuation, and over a time that took a long time. So yeah. Now we're shortening it down to, let's say it's only 5 pounds up and down, and it might only take you 2 weeks to reel that in,
uh-huh.
or 3 weeks. So now your fluctuation is much smaller, and that's what I think maintenance is. I don't think it's like being like spot on a weight forever. It's more like the range you're comfortable in.
You
shouldn't have two sets of clothing. Let's say it that way. Like the clothes that fit now, that's it.
They either fit
great, or they get a little snug, and that's it. There's no like going back to your fat clothes. Those gotta go. Like any clothes that used to fit, just get rid of them.
Yeah, and that's, get rid of it.
And that's
yeah,
it. Feel... Actually, that's probably the simplest way to decide what your new fluctuation range is. You gotta stay fitting in the clothes. When you're in your best condition, those are the clothes that have to fit, and that's it. So then. Shoot from the hip advice for other people who want to go through what you went through, like get in that kind of shape.
Well, the biggest thing, like I said, is tell yourself that nothing's going to change in a day, and even more so, nothing's going to change in a week. You know, you got to look at yourself. My advice is don't even look at yourself for a month. If you first start this out, you know, step on the scale, and then a month later, step on the scale again, and then try not to look in the mirror. Use that technique. It's going to be hard, but don't be one of those people that, you know, after you come from the gym, you did chest and tries, and you want to look at yourself in the mirror and expect to see, you know, somebody that's been working out for years, you know, type of shape. That's not going to happen. The patience thing is the biggest thing. There's no set. I have to lose a pound a week of fat. You know, it's not, it could be a quarter pound, could be half a pound, whatever it is. Just tell yourself that you are losing and you are eventually going to get there. You know, so I mean, if you have any intention of sticking with working out, it shouldn't matter what time you get there in, you know, because if you're going to be working out for the rest of your life or training or staying in shape, it doesn't matter how long it takes for you to cut that initial fat. That's what I feel. Another thing, I think it just takes hard work. I mean, so many people ask me, like, well, what do you do for this? What do you do for that? I'm in the gym 5 times a week. It doesn't matter how many times you go to the gym. You can go to the gym 10 times a week. If you're doing half-ass workouts, it's not going to equate to anything. You know, you need to push yourself in the gym. You need to force your body to change, you know. I think your body's always in some kind of, you know, equilibrium, some kind of balance, and you have to force it all, that balance to change. You know, create the shape you want. And also that's another thing with it goes along with, you know, with your body type and your shape. You know, look at your body and tell yourself what you want to improve. You know, if you're lacking in the shoulders and the chest, don't let somebody else tell you what you should do. If you feel you need more work for the work on it, you know, create that image. You know, I believe you can create that image, and it's also fun. It keeps you motivated. Like, I would go in the gym I think I asked you, John, a couple of days. I was like, you know, I want to work on my upper chest, you know, and I'm definitely happy with that development after 12 weeks. It definitely worked. I feel my upper chest came in. Now I want to work on my shoulders a little more. It keeps me motivated, you know, throwing an extra workout for my shoulders, you know, so I go in there and, I feel a pump. It's just a good feeling. That goes into, you should enjoy working out. You know, I wake up in the morning. I love going for a walk. You know, I can't wait to get to the gym some days. You know, I just love training. You know, it's my solace. I love getting in there. There's no pressure. I'm not competing against anything. I'm not competing against anybody else. It's only myself. You know, it's just a great feeling. That's what I love doing. So, I think you need to make it that. You know, don't, you know, I think you have something on your blog right now, punishing yourself with gym. You know, don't make it as a punishment. You know, that's a huge thing right there. You have to enjoy what you're doing. Also, eating. John, you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm just listening.
Yeah. Okay. The eating patterns, the best thing you told me is the weekly. I have a lot of, me and my fiance did a lot of, you know, social situations where, you know, there's going to be a lot of food there. You know, I didn't gorge at every event, but I planned. I planned for my eating, and that's the best way to do it, plan for the week. You know, during my work week, when I go to work, you know, I know I'm not going to be eating a lot, so I won't eat a lot. You know, and I definitely, there was downtime at work where you know, anybody could have just ate out of boredom, and I could have done the same thing too, but I said to myself, you know what, I'm saving these calories for the weekend. You know, say on Saturday, I have a dinner. you know, Sunday I have a big event with friends. We're going to, say, whatever it was, a winery or something like that. You know, I would save for that, and it worked, you know. You know, when I got there, I didn't totally lose control and gorge. I think John asked you, too, about the Super Bowl during that time. I was like, what do we do at the Super Bowl party? And, you know, you said save your calories, get a good workout, and do the whole thing, which I actually did. I had a lot of calories. And it turns out when I got there, I didn't even eat anywhere near where I planned, and I came in a huge deficit that week. You know, and it's
really?
Almost like,
you never told me that.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I forgot how much I did. I got to look at my sheets, but I didn't eat. I just got there and I ate, and you know why? I felt disgusting. I told myself, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to gorge. You know, I could have, you know, you said just go ahead and eat, you know, leisurely. I didn't do that. I had some wings, you know.
So it sounds like you had a little bit of neural reprogramming where you actually had an adverse reaction to the concept of just overeating for the sake of overeating.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? It's like, you know, I had planned for it, you know, just say, you know.
Yeah, I remember. We talked about the whole week on how to plan for that one.
Yeah, and so I planned for it, saved some calories for it. When I actually got there, I think, you know, I always overestimate what you should do with your calories, and I knew I wasn't anywhere near that. I don't know what it was. I think I was just, you know, BSing with friends, and we were watching the game, and then, you know, I ate a few things, ate some wings, I got there, whatever, chips or what have you, and then time, came to leave, I don't know, I didn't feel like eating, you know?
Well, that's good. So that's important, because the whole point, like you said, one of the key things was you have to enjoy the process. So did you ever feel like totally deprived with the way you ate?
No, I didn't. Not at all. I'll tell you one thing, and this is really good, what I've noticed. One time I didn't plan, and I ate a lot. I didn't gorge, I didn't eat a ton of it. I forgot what it was. It saves maybe, I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 calories over whatever the day was or something. So the next day, you know, you think weekly and you always compensate, but I think that compensation, and we talked about this too, that compensation was rough.
Fixing a problem after the fact.
Like, you don't punish yourself with the fast or don't punish yourself with the gym. You know, that's like the worst thing to do. And then you'll feel deprived. You know, that's when I was like, oh, geez, you know, I feel like I can actually feel it. Like, I was low on calories that day. Like, definitely low. Like, the fast didn't. No, I was like, this is not cool, you know?
Yeah, the thing with that, and this is almost impossible for people to accept, but when you have a bad day where you just eat more than you planned, unless you already had a low-calorie day planned afterwards, don't do it. Don't try to compensate. Just get back to whatever your plan was.
Absolutely.
Because if you try to fix it the next day, like you said, you're going to have all kinds of – you're going to create a negative experience. It's going to suck, and it's going to, like, really wear away at your, like – it's going to wear away at your ability to continue doing this. Like, you can't – you can never, ever have it – have a – you can't attach negative emotions to a day of dieting like that.
Yeah.
You can't have
you're
it.
Absolutely right. Yep.
It can't be a day of compensation, a day of catch-up, a day of, like, oh, my God, like, I got to fix what happened yesterday. If you overeat today, if you and I just were dieting, and today we just overdo it by, let's say, 1,500 calories, we just overdid it. Yep. We should never approach tomorrow as finding a way to burn get rid of an extra 1,500. If tomorrow was scheduled to just be maintenance, or if tomorrow was scheduled to just be a couple hundred calories, but just go back to that. You're not fixing it in one day.
100% agree. And just tell yourself, hey, if I had plans to, you know, get to my point, say 12 weeks, it's going to take 12 and a half weeks.
Yeah,
now.
You push it back by a week. And that's where you make the compensation. You don't make the compensation the very next day. I always make the football analogy. It's like if you get sacked for a 2-yard loss, you don't try to throw a touchdown the next play.
Absolutely.
Like,
right.
If you were going to call, or if the next play is just a good run play that gets you 7 yards, then you just run the ball again.
Yeah.
You just get back to your regular offense. And then. I think it's a good analogy for anyone who watches sports, because you see teams like get out of hand there, and then they get all on these emotional roller coasters where they're trying to fix one bad play with an even crazier play the next play instead of being consistent. And it's just the consistency that's going to get you there.
Yeah. And you know what happened is, so say that day was a fast. The next day when I was going to eat normal, it almost felt like I was out of control. Not, I didn't eat over, but like I felt like I could have ate like a lot more. I was almost like craving, you know, when one of those hot button foods caught in, and I felt like I was like, oh, I'm gonna eat too much of this. And
it doesn't take long, right?
It was a wild experience, whatever my body's doing to me or psychologically, you know. So that's the best thing. Yeah, don't just eat normal and just continue on. Just tell yourself that, you know, you'll make up for it. But at the same time, you can't have too many of those days. You know, you can't have, you know, where you're just gorging. You're saying, I'm going to make it up because, over a certain period of time, add that up, you know, and you're just not going to go anywhere. You know?
Oh, yeah, of course. But the point is, it's those will be fewer and far between than you think. And
yeah.
Then when they happen, just continue on the next day like it was never there. And then the more you try to hold on to fixing it, the worse it's going to get. You just have to put it in the past. It's over and get back on track.
Yep. But the biggest thing, like I said, with the food, the biggest lesson I learned was planning. And it's actually fun planning, because then you tell yourself, hey, you know, where are we going this week? What are we doing? And you can actually look forward to, you know, what you're doing. You can actually enjoy your food even more. You know, so if you say to yourself, like, you know, this week I have work, you know, I get my whatever break it is, you know, I'm not going to enjoy the food that much. Just eat lighter, you know, and then on the weekend, if you have a social event planned, you know, with friends and whatnot, you're going to have a big dinner or wherever you're going, you know, an outing or something for the day, you know, just save it for then.
And it's so much more rewarding and positive of experience if you plan to go in, even though it sounds like it's the same, but just reversed. Like, well, why, you know, if you plan to eat a certain amount of calories tonight or today or some later in this week and you work your way towards that so it fits into your calorie goals, what's the difference than if you eat now and then plan afterwards? But that it makes all the difference in the world. Like, you have to do it first. You can never do it after.
Yeah.
It's absolutely like running up a credit card debt and paying it off later. In this case, the interest is the psychological damage it does. Like, you can't, and sometimes you can never get out of that debt. Like, you're kind of, like you said, you had one day where you did it and it almost spilled over.
Yeah, like, almost. Yeah.
Like, you had to, like, that next day was tough, right? So, you can't, and if you do that more than a couple of times, then you'll blow the whole 12 weeks. Like, think about that. If you did that every third or fourth week, it won't be long until you're just going up and down and you're swinging all over the place. So it's the planning. Yeah. The planning's the key.
And it's always fun when you plan and you're eating, and people see that you're cutting down, you're losing weight, and then they start talking to you about, you know, what are you eating? And I'm sitting there eating a penne vodka dish, you know, on a diet, and they have no clue. You know what I mean?
Don't realize you've planned the week, so you can enjoy that. Yeah, and that's the thing. When people see you socially, they make the assumption that that's how you're eating every single day, every meal. They're like, oh my God, he eats pasta all the time, and I saw him eating a burger, and it's like, yeah, those are the – you saw me do that on Saturday, but you didn't see me from Monday to Friday. You know, that's when I was preparing for this. I think it's gotten to the point where people expect to see you suffering when you're eating. Like, they don't believe there's a way to do it without visibly suffering in front of everybody. Well, I think we're pretty good. Unless you have anything else, I think we can leave it at that.
No, John, I'm good to go.
All right, man. So thanks for being on the call. So for Joe Schnackenberg, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.